Alright, magandang hapon po sa inyo lahat. Sakay na po tayong lahat, no? Yung mga papuntang Antipolo. We have a new series today. We call it Biyaheng Semana Santa. Alright? As promised last Sunday, alright, we want to present the next 3 weeks about God's Word in line with the Filipino culture in terms of Holy Week. Alright? Sino po ba sa atin dito magbabakasyon itong Holy Week? Taas ang kamay. Magbabakasyon po kayo. Okay, you will go outside our community. Meron ba? O, kasi nga tayo, nasa probinsya na po tayo, no? Kaya hindi ko tayo magkabakasyon. Well, anyway, this is gonna be an exciting 3 weeks for us. But I'd like to mention something very important before we get into God's Word. First and foremost po, the intention of sharing God's Word in terms of Biyaheng Semana Santa is that we're not here to insult. We're not here to put down. We're not here to bash or to make any comments against any particular religion. But we're here to present God's truth in line with what the Word of God is saying regarding all our beliefs, the traditions of Filipinos, especially as we enter Holy Week. And so I just want to let you know we're not here to bash. We're not here to put down, to insult any religion, all right? Whatever particular religion out there, we're here to present God's Word. I just want to make sure that that's important, all right, that we understand the very reason why we're doing this, okay? And so, first week, pag-uusapan po natin, okay, ang biyaheng balik-balik. All right, sino ba ho nakapunta sa balik-balik? Mga taga yun, mga dating mga taga UBEL, kami ho yun, no? Dati kami nag-serve sa UBEL, sa Espanya, may balik-balik po doon, nadadaanan namin ngayon. Next week po, pag-uusapan natin, yung biyaheng pako, alright, which I guess we want to touch in based on the sacrifices of people. And that's basically the whole of Holy Week itself. And then we're going to talk about bagong pag-asa, what the Lord has done for us when He has given us new hope through His resurrection power. And so today I'd like to ask everyone to stand on our feet as we read God's Word today. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and we're going to jump to verses 10 to 14. I'm reading on ESV, all right? And so here's what it says. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Everybody say newness of life. Verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. Everyone say dead to sin. And alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Verse 13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. For this is the word of the Lord for all of us today. Can we just bow our heads right now? Heavenly Father, we want to welcome your Holy Spirit in our midst today. Lord, we pray, even as we present your word, I pray, Lord, that you break any kinds of mindsets that would come against your word, that we may able, Lord God, to appreciate our walk with you for what you've done on the cross. When you were dead, Lord, you experienced burial and the resurrection power. Lord, may we understood fully, Lord God, the revelation of your grace in our midst. We ask that you bless your people today as we hear your God's message. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone would say, amen. Amen. Please take your seats. All right. Okay, Holy Week is about to come. And whenever we say Holy Week, it begins on a Palm Sunday, which is actually next week. All right? Next Sunday. And so ngayon pa lamang po, okay, sinasabi na natin, okay, napapasok na po tayo sa Holy Week, and it will end on Easter Sunday. And so there are some common beliefs, superstitious practices of Filipinos during Holy Week. Or ito po yung sinasabi natin, Semana Santa. Okay? Ito po yung mga nagiging practices natin. Okay, hindi po ba po pag mapasok yung Holy Week, okay, kumakanta po tayo ng mga pasyon. Hindi po ba yung singing of passion? 24 hours straight from Monday to Tuesday. Sino po ba gumagawa ng ganito? Okay, nagpapasyon ka dati. O hindi ngayon. Alright, wala. Talo ko kayo. Wala pala kayo sinabi sa pagiging religyoso ko. Okay. Alam mo, naimbitahan ako dahil kapitbahay ko namin. Talagang religiously, no? Every year, nagpapasyon sila. Eh, barkada ko yung nasa kapitbahay namin. Si ako naman, kanta lang naman ako. So I'm just getting along the ride. Alright, and so they're singing it. So okay pala, no? So hindi na ako kakanta. Baka mamaya may ma-offend pa, no? Kapag Biyernes Santo, bawal maghukay sa lupa dahil matatamaan raw ang ulo ng Diyos. Tama po ba yon? Bawal talaga maghukay. Yeah, dapat, di ba? Pag Biyernes Santo, mukha kang Biyernes Santo. O hindi, kinakalaban natin ng Diyos. Hindi pwedeng mag-ihaw kapag Biyernes Santo. Alam nyo ba yon? Magkakaroon ka ng pekas sa mukha. Okay, so kung ayaw magkaroon ng pekla at pekas, huwag kang mag-ihaw, alright? Kumain ka ng isda, huwag mong lutuin yung isda, kumakainin mo, okay na hindi luto. Bawal tumawa pag natutuwa ka dahil patay ang Diyos. Ganun ba yon? Bawal maligo during Biyernes Santo dahil patay ang Diyos. Alright? And so, somehow, we tolerated this and we thought, if we do this, we're giving God a favor because the whole point of Holy Week is for me to live a good and godly life for that particular week because that's the way we were raised up. In fact, there are three thoughts of it. The reason why people do good or they live a life that is holy in that particular Holy Week because of the many sins that they have done in the past. And so once they get into the Holy Week, the mindset is, Lord, magbabawas ako ng kasalanan. Lord, ang dami ko na kasalanan na ginawa. Pagdating ko na Holy Week, Lord, I wanna make sure, alright, I keep myself quiet. I have my reflection in you, alright? I'll do anything that I can in order for me to be good in that particular week because it's really holy. So, Lord, magbabawas po ako ng kasalanan. Okay? Another thought is, live a Holy Week on that particular, all right, Semana Santa, and then go back to your old selfish life. In other words, namumuhunan po tayo. Lord, hindi ako magkakasala itong week na to. Pagbubutihan ko, Lord, gagawin ko lahat. Magbabasa ako ng Bible. Lord, magpapasyon ako. Magbibisita iglesia ako. Lahat gagawin ko na. The seven last words. Dahil, Lord, pagdating ng after Holy Week, I'll go back to my old selfish lives. Balik-balik nga eh. And it's a routine. We go back to that. So it's either you pay for the sins that you've done or you invest on that particular week because you're gonna do your old selfish ways of sinning. Does that make sense? Ito naman. Be merry and sin as much as you can because it is Holy Week, so I need to prepare. In other words, bago pumasok ang Holy Week, gagawin ko na lahat ng kasalanan. Big time. Magpa-party ako. Gagawin ko lahat. In fact, there's such thing as called Fat Tuesday. Alam niyo po ba yung Fat Tuesday? In the States, it's very popular in New Orleans, where we get we celebrated Mardi Gras. Alright, and what happened was, the concept of that is for you to live merrily, happy, eat, have sex with anyone, do all the big time sins you can do, because the moment that you enter Lenten season, you're going to live not just Holy Week, but for 40 days. Just like what Christ have went through for 40 days, I'm going to experience all this religiosity for 40 days. But I got to live merry. I got to live sinful life, big time, like living hell. So that when I enter that 40 Lenten season, then I could be okay. Napag-alaman po natin, dito pala sa bansa natin, based dun sa na-born again na may-ari ng maraming mga motel. Alam nyo ba kung sino yun? Okay, yung dating Anito po, di ba, wala nang Anito. Yung dati po na may-ari nun, sabi pong ganun, sa mga motels pala nila, okay, bago na dumating yung Ash Wednesday, isa sa pinakamataas na mga customers na nagpupunta sa motel. Alright? Actually, second to the great sales that they have, that they had, is basically yung the day before the Ash Wednesday. And so the concept is, well, we gotta do all these kinds of lust because the following day, we gotta live holy. And so kaya nga may ganun po. And that is the reality aside from the Valentine's Day, which the sales goes up, all right? The second bigger sales for the motels is the day before Ash Wednesday. And what's the concept of this? The mindset is we always go back to being religious, doing good things in that particular week. And I hope here in our church, you know, there are things that somehow we inherit from our former faith that still today, once we get into Holy Week, okay, papanoorin natin the Passion of the Christ. Okay, magbabasa tayo ng Bible. Eh, pero hindi ka naman ganun pag nagbasa ng Bible. Ngayon, tatatarin natin sarili natin for us to be godly. Why is that? Kasi nga, in our minds, that Holy Week is so special that we gotta be holy because the following weeks and the rest of the week is, it's a normal thing for us to sin. And that's not what the Bible says. The big question that we need to ask today is, will doing good and being holy for one straight week bring true change? Will doing good and being holy for one week bring such God's favor in our lives? Let's look what the book of Romans says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. What shall we say then? Sabi ni Apostle Paul. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? He wrote this to correct the mindsets of the Roman Christians, wherein the Christians really started to follow Christ, but they started to add up wrong beliefs and doctrines that caused them to live two separate lives. The one is following Christ's ways, and the other is following the traditions. And he was saying, ito ba yung gagawin natin? Na akala nyo ba na because of the sins that you've been doing, yung grace mag-i-increase sa buhay natin? Yung ba yung sinasabi nito? And he was there to correct that mindset. Ang sinasabi niya ganun, hey look, living a holy life is not a matter of us earning it, but somebody did earn that to us because it's impossible for us to live a holy life. People try their very best, but they end up being a failure. Why is that? Because there is no power based on what they're doing. And so I hope that we should not miss this, that 24/7, 365 days, we could live a life that is holy, pleasing, honoring God, and doing His will. Sinasabi po rito sa verse 3, sabi ni Apostle Paul, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Hold it there for a while. The opening remark is this, what shall we say then? Sinasabi niya doon sa mga Kristiyano, alright, doon sa particular church, sa book, sa Roman, sabi niya ganun, sa Roman church, hey look, do you not know? Hindi niyo pa ba alam? Hindi niyo pa ba naintindihan yung ginawa ni Lord sa buhay natin? Teka muna, bakit kayo may mga ganyang traditions? Bakit kayo may mga ganyang practices, may mga beliefs that totally it's against God Himself? Do you not know that what Christ has done, and you were all baptized, you were baptized into His death. Verse 4, we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And before we continue reading, I'd like to say this. From the onset, He was saying this, through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we are identified with Him. That's what Christianity is. Religion will tell us, do all these things, all these requirements of the law, all these commandments, so that for you to gain favor unto God. And I think until today, all religions practice that. For you to please God and be in right standing with God, listen, you got to do all the things that is right based on the commandments, based on the good things that God, Christ is telling us. Or maybe not Christ telling us, based on good works, as long as we live good, whoosh, we're fine, you're doing great. But it's totally the opposite. Christ came here because man doesn't really seek God. Christ came here to really seek for you not to earn our forgiveness, for you not to earn newness of life, because we cannot earn it. It's only through the power of God Himself, through His Son Jesus Christ, that what He did for us through His death, His burial and resurrection caused us to be identified with Christ. In other words, God has given us identity. Kaya nga tinatawag niya po tayong, we're children of God, we're Christians, we're followers of Christ. That's why as a disciple, it's very important. Are we following Christ? Are we following traditions? Are we following traditions of our former way of life? Or are we really following the very words of Christ and what He did for us? Verse 5, it says here, for we have been united with Him in death like His. We shall certainly be united with Him in resurrection like His. Everybody say, like His. We know that our old self, everybody say old self, was crucified with Him in order the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we could no longer be enslaved to sin. Is that a good news? You can't get out from our sins. You can't get out from the bondage of sin. We are all enslaved. But it took the Son of Christ, Son of God, Jesus Christ, that through His death on the cross, the Bible tells us that we could get rid of our life of sin. Verse 7, for no one has died and been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, God has given us identity. What did He do for us? For us to receive this kind of life. First things first. He said in verse 4, we were given new life. Newness of life. You don't seek for life. You receive life from God. You don't get life from the church. But obviously life is here. Why? Because if there's any common thing of all of us in our hearts is we have Christ, and that's why we could worship God together. We could enjoy God together in praise and worship no matter what. Why? Because if there's anything that is common within us, it's the life of Christ. I remember a person talked to me one time and he said, you know, grabe, ang sarap pala mag-fellowship, ano? Ang saya lang when you're part of a group. Wala na, masaya lang talaga. Ano ba ginawa nyo? Kainan, share lang, wala lang. And it was time for us to just hang out together with our victory group, and there was just life. I enjoyed it. And think about how much more when the Word of God is being shared upon us, how much more when we're being taught how to live the kind of life that God wants us to live for. God has given us new life. What else? We were identified with Christ by us experience being set free from sin, that we are no longer being slaves by it. Hindi lang tayo binigyan ni Lord ng bagong buhay. Every day is a new life for us. Can you say amen? Not only that, but God has set you free from sin. Then why would you let others and let yourself being controlled by sin? If God has set us free from sin. And Paul was saying, don't you know this? Don't you understand what Christ has done? We should now live with Him and His purpose in verse 8. Because of what Christ has done, His death, burial, and resurrection, then we should live for Him and His very purpose. What are you waiting for? What else do you need in life when God has given you everything? And here's the game changer here. In verse 10, sabi po ng Bible, for the death He died to sin once for all. Everybody say, once for all. But the life He lives to God. The death He died to our sin. Once for all. When He said, it is finished, it is done. You don't have to do good works in order for you to please God. You don't have to do sin in order for you to prepare for the Holy Week. God did it once and for all so that He would live for God's purpose. If He did live for God's purpose, what about you and I? Then what an opportunity. Lord, thank You. that I could live for you. Does that make sense? That's why this is our celebration. I believe Holy Week is a moment of celebration. It is a moment of reflection, I believe, as well. But we celebrate that agony of what Christ did experience. It's a celebration for the whole body of Christ. Celebrating that what Christ has done for us is enough once and for all. Jesus lived a life I couldn't live. And died the death I should have died. Simple as that. That's the good news. Jesus lived a life I couldn't live and then died the death I should have died. I could be dead by now. I no longer exist just for my own self, but thanks be to God for what He has done for me. Life is more of Him and not of us. And here's the result. That's the game changer of what Christ has done for us. You understand me? Holy Week is a celebration. Di po tayo nagluluksa. May joy po sa buhay natin. We always look on the cross and say, Lord, thank you for that cross. Because of the cross, I'm saved. Because of the cross, every sin, weakness, the power of the enemy in my life has been broken. And maybe you do not know this. Or maybe you know this, but you do not apply. Here's the bottom line, because of what Christ has done, that He identified Himself to us by giving us new life, new birth, living purpose, and not to be controlled by sin. Here's how we should live. Here's the result, okay? Verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of righteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, as your members of God, as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Here's the result. It's very important. In the different translation, NLT, in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, sabi po ng Bible, do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Everybody say, give yourselves completely. To God, since He has been given you life. And you use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Here's, I believe, the application. Number one, do not obey and be mastered by sin's desires. Do not obey and be mastered by sin's desires. In the book NIV, verse 11, it says there, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourselves dead to sin. He did what He has to do for us to be given new life. And because of that, the Bible tells us, here's our application, Christians. Here's our application, disciple. Count yourselves dead to sin. The word count means to charge on a specific account. In Paul's day, all right, for you to have an account, then you have to fund that particular account. Am I right? Now listen, if I'll receive a check that comes from Bill Gates, and it's around $10 million. You know what? I'll encash it right away. Why? Because I know it's funded. It comes from Bill Gates. Right? And I'll do it with all might. Why? Because it's funded. That's what I know. And hear me right now. Counting is not just claiming a promise. It is acting on a fact. It is acting not on a promise, but on a fact that God does not command us to become dead to sin. But He's telling you that we are already dead to sin and alive in Christ. Do you understand this? He's not telling you This is not a command. Count yourselves dead to sin. It is not a command. He's telling you, act upon it. I did it for you. You've been set free. You were given new life. You should live for me. Because I did it once and for all. Count yourselves dead to sin. What do I have on my account? What do I have in my account? Here's what I have. Dead to sin. I should no longer be mastered by sin. I cannot offer parts of my body to sin. Why? Because it's not going to be bounced. The check that I have will not be bounced because Jesus Christ funded it when he died and when he resurrected from the dead. And because of that, I can encash it and live like it. It's not a promise. It's not a command for you. But it's something that happened. It's done. Why are you living for sins, passion and lust when the Lord Jesus set you free from the bondage of sin and slavery? Can you say amen to that? Can we give the Lord a big, big hand? In verse 12, it says here, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Let not sin therefore reign. Now, there's a word there. The word reign. All right? And it speaks of what? It speaks of who's the leader. It speaks of the master, the king, the ruler. And it says here, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Why are we letting sin reign in our own lives? Because there is a constant battle. There's a passion. There's a constant battle, whether it's either sin or it's Christ. And if you let sin reign, then you'll be mastered by sin. You'll be enslaved and engulfed by sin once again. But God said, do not let sin reign, but let me reign for you. I should be the one who should mastering you. Then let sin has master over you. And here's the point. It's either you live for sin's passions or live for Jesus' passion. Are you here with me? What are you living for in your life right now? Are you living for God? James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one. That's very clear. All right? Verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own. Everybody listen up. You are not tempted by simply a picture or any person or any money out there. You know where it comes from? It's in our hearts. It comes from our desires. The moment that we live on earth, it's right there with us. We're enticed and lured by our own desire. Hindi natin kailangan ng temptation. Kaya nga, kung gusto mo magkasala at magkakasala at magkakasala at magkakasala ka. Kung gusto mo, because you're following your own desires. Kung alam mo mali, gagawin at gagawin mo pa rin dahil ginusto mo. Hindi mo na dapat kailangan gawin, pero ginusto mo eh. Wala naman temptation eh, pero ikaw mismo eh. Di mo nilabanan. Tumakbo ka patungo doon sa kasalanan. Dahil sa puso natin, meron tayo nun. Sabi ng Bible, do not be mastered by our own evil desires. Are you here with me? Verse 14, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Again, here's the application. It's so important. Do not obey and be mastered by sin's desire. Second, present yourself as instrument of what? Righteousness. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. The word present, all right, means to what? To yield or to surrender. The word there, present, means to what? To yield or to surrender. Will you yield and surrender our lives, our members, not in sinning, but being instruments of righteousness? That's what the Word of God says there. When you say, I give you my heart, then I give you my body, there is an intent and corresponding action. When we say, Lord, I give my heart to you. Lord, I accept you. You are now my Lord, my King, my ruler, my Savior. You know what? There is a corresponding action that goes along with it. And that is very important in us. How many times we have surrendered our body to the things that God doesn't really want us to do? We surrender and yield and present ourselves to the very things that God doesn't want us to do. For example, our feet go to wrong places. You're not supposed to go there, but you went there anyway. Our tongue speaks of words that would hurt and harm a person, who would gossip, who would say all the things unnecessarily, but yet you still speak of those. But yet God says, you got to yield that. Our hands do things that are not pleasing to God, our very hands that cause us to be pure. And we still do it. Why is that? God says, you yield and present yourself as instruments of righteousness. Our eyes that looks at things that God doesn't want us to look at. And we still do it. Why? Because we have never presented. We have never surrendered and yield ourselves to it. Ears that hear trash in this world like music. An accusation that sometimes we tolerate. Why is that? When the Word of God says, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. But the Bible says, present yourselves as what? As like a body, a weapon, a tool, as instruments of righteousness. You know, I want to encourage you. May you present yourselves to God. On and on and on. And we will never stop. We will never stop saying this to all of you. You need to be discipled. The reason why there is no victory in your lives, because you have never been a disciple. We're all Christians. But how many of us in this room will have the boldness to speak and share God's word to your families, to your friends, to your office mates? How many times there's opportunity for you to step out in faith and share God's word, but you've never done that? You know why? Because somebody has to stand with you and teach you and equip you and pray for you to know who you are in Christ. And that's why we have journey that we talked about last time. Why? Because as disciples, we offer our bodies to live for Jesus and His purpose. And we will never, ever graduate of saying this. Every one of us needs to be a disciple. And we need to disciple others. Are you here with me? And we will never be apologetic by this. This is the very heart of God. One day, as we offer our bodies as living instruments of righteousness, you'll be leading victory groups in your own offices, in your own schools. Can you say amen? You will lead your families in victory groups, all right, to bring them to the journey. You will lead your classmates, your office mates, your boss to Christ, that you will never be ashamed to pray for them. And bless them and speak life and faith and hope. Why? Because you have given our lives to Christ. He gave His life for us to do this. That you will be an example of what honesty and integrity and hard work and excellence that is enough for us to live a petty kind of Christian life. But being an example of a true righteousness, holiness, and being a person who pleases God in our own lives. Can you say amen? God wants to use us. Last but not the least, as an application of what Christ has done, His death, burial, and resurrection. Number three, the gift of grace enable us to live a holy life for all season till we die. We were given a new life. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you. since you are not under law, but under grace. Alam niyo ba kaya ang hirap? I encounter people say, ang hirap naman maging Kristiyano. Napaka mahirap, sobrang hirap maging Kristiyano. Sa totoo lang, hindi ho mahirap. Sinasabi natin mahirap dahil hindi natin alam. We don't understand the full extent of what Christ has done for us. Kaya nga sinasabi ni Paul, do you not know? Hindi nyo ba naiintindihan? Hanggang ngayon, ilang taon na, ganyan ka pa rin. Ganyan pa rin pamumuhay na balik-balik pa rin tayo, balik-balik sa kasalanan, balik-balik pa rin tayo. Ito na naman, same old issues. Because we understand it's hard to live a Christian walk. You know why? Because we never understand His grace in our own lives. If it's by law, ang hirap. Pagloto, ginagawa natin, ako mismo ayoko na. Ayoko na mag-preach. It's not gonna work. But thanks be to His grace. We're not under law, but the grace of God works in our lives. What we are and who we are today is the product of what he has done on the cross. And not only that He died for our sins once and for all, but He resurrected from that death so that we will experience a different kind of life. Why? Because of the gift of God's grace. And let me tell you this. We could live a holy life, not for that holy week, but the rest of our lives. Because Jesus Christ identified with us. He gave you new life. He set you free from all your sin. You could live for Him and His very purpose, that sin will no longer be master over us because He set us free. But the power of grace, that it's not under law anymore, but the power of grace in our own lives. I want to end up with a story. When we were doing this, we were so elated with our pastor from U-Belt, you know, Pastor Gilbert Foliente. Sabi niya ganun, Pastor Jerry, taga Los Baños to. Sinashare niya yung nangyari dito sa taong ito na one time, kagaya ng buhay sa Los Baños, alright, puro hirap lang. Diba? Ang hirap kasi Los Baños nga eh. Diba? They're separated from their families. Students are living in dorm. And so when this person experienced hardship in life, just like Pastor Jerry, I guess, when he was a student in Los Baños, this guy, alright, was able to go to the States and have a job. And this guy was working at Silicon Valley headquarters. Or he was working for Yahoo. And sabi nga, he was explaining about what this guy experienced. Now, when he got this job, alright, he was so overwhelmed that the amenities of that very place, including free gourmet coffee, beach volleyball, free lawn bowling court, barbershop, and dental office, once you're part of that company, everything's free. In addition to high pay, Yahoo gives stock options to every single employee, outright stock awards to more than half of the employees, and health insurances with no premiums. Bonuses were way heavily toward high performers. We all would want to work for employers like this. Pay well, give good benefits, has concern for welfare of employees, insurance, healthcare, retirement, paid leaves, training, give opportunities for growth and advancements. While he was saying this, he was telling us, this is what happens to you. Once you enter this relationship, all the benefits, all the very things that you're looking for in this world is right there in this relationship with so-called Christianity. Everything has been paid for. Everything has been blessed with the people who enters into this relationship. And there is no downside. The problem is, we always go back and want our will, our desires, instead of His will and His word that would work for us. Let me ask you this. The grace of God is sufficient. We're not under law anymore. We're under grace. But what is it today? What is it now that you have a hard time living in this world? Are you still controlled by sin? Are you afraid of something to let go? Where God can supply all your needs. What is it that you're waiting for? What's the very thing that you let the Master take control because He gives you the identity in what He has done on the cross? Would you right now yield, surrender, offer yourselves as instrument of righteousness? Would you do that today for what Christ has done, that because of the finished work of Christ, we could live a life that is holy 24/7, 365 days a year? Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. Can you surrender? Will you yield yourself to God today and live for Him and His purpose? Can we just bow our heads right now? Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you that you've spoken today. Lord, just like what the apostle says, you're the one who has given us life. You're the one who set us free, Lord. Whatever sin, whatever struggle, you're a God who never condemns. But you're the God who did once and for all for our sin to be abolished, for our sin to be dealt with on the cross. And Lord, here we are. We want to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you're the one who's given us the revelation, the understanding that our identity comes from you. We are nothing apart from our relationship with you, Lord. While every heads are bowed down and eyes closed, and the Lord is speaking to you, the Lord is zeroing in and pointing that particular sin and struggle that you need to yield. You need to surrender. That you would count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Would you repent before the Lord today? Receive His righteousness. Receive His forgiveness and His deliverance right here, right now. It's between you and the Lord. God is a personal God, and He's there to help you. It is finished. God has set us free. And today, would you receive that? Would you receive that grace for you to live holy, for you to live pure in His righteousness and holiness? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray right now for every person, Lord God, who hears your message. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the revelation of your word. I thank you, Lord God, even today, Lord God, that you release, Father God, your conviction. That you're the one who set us free. You're the one who set us right. And while every heads are bowed down and eyes closed, Lord, we come to you today in humility. I pray for the spirit of repentance, Lord. That we don't have to enter Holy Week for us to do that. Right here, we want to respond in accordance with your word. Lord, thank you that you have not commanded us. But you are reminding us that it's already done. That we are to live holy, pure, and righteousness. And Father, I thank you for every individual who's here today. I pray, Lord God, that as we leave this place, we will have a grip of your love, the power of your grace, Lord, knowing that you are on our side and you are there to help us.